Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Champions are made on Sundays.
World champs, baby!
Congratulations to the Super Bowl champion.
Legends are made on Sundays.
Toward the end zone, it is caught! Seattle's going to the Super Bowl!
Really good breakfast is made on Sundays.
Get me a vodka rocks.
Mom, it's breakfast.
And a piece of toast.
It's Football Sunday with Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher, featuring the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, and college football's biggest games. And a look ahead at today's NFL action.
Herbert stops, launches deep. Jalen Guyton, he's got it! Touchdown, Chargers! What a throw!
Football Sunday, Rashad and Joe on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Am I on? Are we on?
You're on. You're hot. You're live.
Oh, cool, man.
good to hear.
Yeah, cool.
Happy about it.
Hour two of two. And starting here on Football Sunday / Sports Sunday. Hopefully we'll get our new open for Sports Sunday with,
you know,
Rashad and Joe.
I'll take some of the blame. I was grinding this week. I was hoping I could get it in by a certain time, the scripts, the copy ready to go, and I felt like I did, but, you know, just...
Well, you don't do the big voice.
There's a lot of movie. Yeah, I'm definitely no big voice guy, that's for sure.
Yeah, so, I mean...
Can I give it my best shot, though?
Could you...
be big voice guy?
Yeah.
You're listening to 1080.
No, I don't like it. I don't like it.
Pretty close, though. Not bad.
I don't like it. Yeah, it wasn't.
Rashad and Joe.
No, definitely don't like it. Yeah, we're going to definitely have to get it to big voice guy.
I can dump that so it never went on air.
No. Well, no, we're going to keep that. We definitely need it, man. But it is All-Star Weekend. As a kid, this used to be my favorite time of year.
It's All-Star Weekend.
Yeah. I don't like it. Yeah, we're gonna pass on that voice. But yeah, as a kid, man, these days used to be so much fun. Usually stay the night at one of my buddy's house or do something like we're over each other's houses and just watching the 3-point contest and the dunk contest.
Yeah, All Star Weekend was a vibe.
Absolutely, and when it used to be just a rookie game, right? When it used to be just East versus West rookies, like that was super super cool. You know, I remember a game, the '97 rookie showcase. And on the one hand, it was on the Eastern Conference team, it was Allen Iverson, Ray Allen, Marcus Camby, Sharif Abdul-Rahim, just a bunch of dudes on one side. And on the other side, it was Kobe and Stephon Marbury and, you know, some other guys. And it was Kobe and Iverson going at each other. And that was the night. It was like, oh, okay, these cats are about to be cold. And then later that night, Kobe went on to win the dunk contest. And again, one of my favorite, you know, all-star times. But today there's a game happening. I'm never as excited anymore
for the game happening, I guess.
You know, there's some stuff happening.
I liked last year's because they were doing the NBA 75 also.
Yeah.
So that like cool. That seemed like
see all those people. Yeah.
Seemed like a big deal. That's crazy that
was a year ago already.
Yeah.
We were having these debates about who was top 75, who wasn't, who shouldn't have been on the list, or whatever the case is. Dang, that feels like it was so long ago. But I honestly hadn't really paid attention to who was in the All-Star game this year. And then I started, you know, looking up, like, which guys were on the team. Lauri Markkanen is going to start this year. First time All-Star, I believe. And he's going to start for the injured, who is it?
Zion.
Yeah, he's going to start for Zion. So that's a cool thing to see Lauri Markkanen, you know, play and start in the All-Star game, man. Two Sacramento Kings. The Sacramento Kings are good, and they've got two All-Stars. Now, we've known De'Aaron Fox has been good for, like, this is what, his seventh season in the league? Fifth, sixth season in the league, something like that? We've known he's been good since then, but now he's finally got a team around him and a running mate who's also an All-Star for the third time, and Domantas Sabonis. Of course, Dame is on the All-Star team. Was there any disappointment from you that Jeremy Grant wasn't named an All-Star?
What?
I'm saying, was there any disappointment from you that Jeremy Grant wasn't named an All-Star this season?
Oh, sorry, bud. I'm taping this station together right now,
yeah,
making sure the levels are good. I'm looking at everything. I am falling apart over here. No, I mean, whatever, dude. The Blazers, right. Blazers suck this year. Yeah. I love my Blazers. I would love for them to get as much recognition as possible. And Jeremy Grant had a nice run that he was on, but then he went on a pretty damn cold run after that. So it just kind of like those talks. I'm not upset about it.
No, I don't think. I think there were a lot of people that were really, you know, carrying that flag saying Jeremy should have been an All-Star. There are still some people that are hot and cold on Simons, but a lot of them feel like he should be, you know, as well.
Sorry, I'm just laughing at myself. Just such a radio professional. Oh, Joe, how do you feel about this? What?
Yeah, what are you talking about? There's stuff going on? No, but I've kind of been played on the All-Star game. I'm glad that they changed the rules. I'm not sure if they're still doing the scoring thing and how they were, you know, you have to have a certain amount of points and everything. If they're doing that, then cool. To my knowledge, I haven't heard anything, but here's the one thing I want to talk about.
Oh, like the Elam ending?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're still doing that.
Okay, great. So here's the one thing that is super corny. They haven't drafted teams yet.
Yes, they have.
No, the draft is going to happen before the game, right?
No, they already have the teams drafted. I've been saying him, Rashad.
They have the
I've been saying
drafted.
In my update that Lillard is on Team Giannis.
Oh, okay. Great. Great. I thought because I was under the impression that they were changing that to where they weren't going to be drafted until like the day of the All-Star game or something like that.
No, I've got the selections right here, the teams right in front of me. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, unless I'm crazy, unless I was reading last year's roster or something.
It says, look, the All-Star draft featuring LeBron James, Giannis Antetokounmpo, selecting players for Team LeBron and Team Giannis will take place directly before the All-Star game, Sunday, February 19th. What the hell?
Just on fire right now.
What the hell, man? So I'm about to say, I knew I wasn't wrong. So, no, at this point, nobody's been drafted.
God. We should just go home.
And here's the cold part.
Maybe I should just go home.
Maybe you should just put your mic on, you know, mute for a little bit. But this is done in an effort for the last few years. James Harden was the last pick of
this is the first time they've done this, though, correct?
This is the first time they've done this. Literally, there's no All-Star practice. Like, if you're the coach, if you're Mike Malone, how are you running through plays with your team to say, okay, end of the game, fourth quarter, if it's a close game, we're going to go to this set. We're going to do this. You can't do that. There's usually an All-Star practice Saturday, right, before the game where the guys take pictures, they do the everything. How is that working? Like, if you're the coach of these All-Star teams, and let's say it is a close game, which I think we're hoping for, but if you have to draw up a play at the end, or you're supposed to be working on a certain set, then how is anybody supposed to get that information an hour before the game starts? So I thought that was super corny.
And let's also be real, this isn't exactly like a strategical game here,
but it gets to, like, when it's close, it gets strategic at the end. Well, yes, this is why they have the practice and everything first, you know, because yes, if it is a close game, you know, first half, we know what we're going to see.
What do you think's happening at those practices, though? Like, are they actually?
They're running through. They're at least running through a play or two. They're not maybe. They're not having a competitive all-star practice, but it's them for them to laugh and dance and everything. But yes, there is a couple plays that are at least ran in between there to make sure that, bro, if this is a close game and it's the fourth quarter,
I'm not buying
that. And it's one of the all-star games that we've seen over the last few years. If it's like that in the first, yes, we're going to need to know what to run out of a timeout, you know, down two with 35 seconds left.
Well, you draw it up in the moment, all right? I don't know if you're actually practicing plays for the all-star game.
I'm not saying you're over there. You're not, you know, running motion, you know, the entire time. However, yes, coaches are definitely putting some stuff in there to say, all right, end of the game, we're drawing some stuff up for Steph. We're drawing some stuff up for LeBron. Like, we got to go get this bucket at the end of the game. Absolutely, they're doing that. Because if it didn't matter, they would just let whomever play at the end of the all-star game. But they keep their, they put their best players, their starters in there because, yeah, they want to win, you know, at the end of it. So, yeah, putting in some winning plays is an important part. And if I don't draft my players until an hour before the damn game, how are we supposed to do that? That's corny.
Yeah, it's definitely got to be the first year they're doing
this. It is. And it's only because they don't want players to get picked last. The NBA has gotten really petty. And I know we got a break, but they say Rudy Gobert gave everybody COVID in the world, right? And so he got picked last the year that they came back from COVID restrictions and everything. James Harden and whomever were going at it, so he got end up getting picked last. And then Kevin Durant, the last year, purposely didn't pick James Harden because he had been traded to Philadelphia. And so now we're at this thing to where Adam Silver, in the softest move he's ever done, is making it to where nobody has to be picked last. But somebody's still going to be picked last. It doesn't matter. Like, there's going to be, like, they're picking the reserves first. But if all the reserves are going to be picked, one of those reserves is going to be picked last. Like, that's a real thing. And so I'm trying to understand what the ideology was behind that. But, hey, that's Adam Silver is a smart millionaire, and I'm, you know, sitting here talking to you guys on Sunday.
Man, what the hell do I know? I hate the internet sometimes. I'm just looking. I'm like, now I'm trying to find where the hell I read that he was on Team Giannis, and I'm just upset.
You can't find it.
Nope, there I'm you upset. Go.
Well, you'll have time to calm down.
What is that snicker right there? Look at that, Joe.
Yeah. Well.
You know what? Screw this. I'm going, sources tell me that Damian Lillard is on Team Giannis.
Who is sources? Who is that?
I don't have to tell you that. I don't have to give those up.
Okay.
Well, I would be risking a relationship that I can't. I just can't do that. So.
Okay. Well, we'll come back, man.
Sources tell me my ego being destroyed.
It happens to me every time, bro. So Joe and I come back, man. We're going to talk about some of the coolest moments, coolest jerseys, all-star history, and just maybe some of our favorite overall moments. And hopefully tonight we'll get the chance to create some new ones. And that's going to happen right here, football/Sports Sunday on the Fan and the Odyssey app.
Football Sunday, Rashad and Joe on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
He lives. Mike Lynch lives somehow. You can't hear it right now, Rashad, but it is it's definitely not the Eagles playing right now. It's classic Mike Lynch, just growl, screamo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, gonna have to get rid of this one.
Yeah.
Just a little too aggressive for Sunday mornings.
Always for, and you know, just judging from Lynch's personality, it didn't seem like he was a grunge metal kind of guy, but...
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Seems more of like a...
like an easy listening type of dude, you know?
Yeah, the Carpenters.
Smooth jazz, right?
You know, yeah, something like,
you know,
Bobby Caldwell.
You know,
something along those lines.
Getting used up. Yeah, that sounds right around the lines of what he listens to. But to each his own. And speaking of to each his own, man, my favorite all-star jersey. Number one, all-star jerseys used to be the dopest thing in the world.
Well, let's be real. The 90s color palette is what made those things
absolutely
go. I mean,
absolutely.
It was just a different time back
absolutely.
Then.
Absolutely. You know, just the being able to see those, you know, those cool white and blues or those cool white and reds, you know, the East-West colors. Man.
Oh, see, you're just going classic. I'm going those crazy ones that they were doing in the 90s.
Oh, no. Like, so the classic ones are fresh. Like, the ones they had from the 80s that just said, like, you know, NBA and the All-Star at the top. And then, like, those ones were always super, super cool and, like, old school. But probably my favorites are the ones from the San Antonio All-Star game with the cactus on it, the cacti on it. Those ones were super.
Oh yeah, I see those
fresh.
Right here.
Like
1995 All-Star.
Yeah.
See, that's what I'm saying. That's that 90s color palette. The purple, the orange, the green. That was you know, we were going, and then the very next year in 96, again, yeah. I think that was in, it looks like that had to have been in Detroit or Charlotte with that color palette. My God.
Yeah, like those ones were super, and that's, you know, those ones and the ones in 96, that might have been the dopest era as far as the shoes are concerned. Because I'm looking at a list and said that in those games at one, at that point, 1996, the Jordan 11 Columbias, the Nike Zoom Flight 95s, the Air Up Tempos, the Pennies, the Kamikazes, the Shaq Noses, and the Grant Hill 2s were all on the All-Star floor at that point. Those are the who's who of classic tennis shoes. Every one of those pairs. Like, I have a pair of Grant Hills today. I've been looking for a pair of Zoom Flight 95s. Because those are the Jason Kidds. Hey, man, like that was a hell of a time to be a kid and watch the All-Star game and stuff like that, man. So that was the great time. But the worst jersey ever was probably that New Orleans one that they had.
Is it 2008?
I don't know. If it was too. I don't remember what year it was, but I know it was really, really stupid. I didn't like those.
No, I was looking at one that it's like they're like half. They're like, yeah, I think these were the New Orleans ones, but like they're split in half. So the West, it's like the front of them is white and then the back half is gold.
Yeah.
And then they did the same thing. Like it is just too much going on.
Yeah, just terrible. The one, the most underrated jerseys were the team jerseys that you got to wear. So you play for the Blazers, you get a Blazers jersey with an All-Star patch on it.
So just the jersey.
That was super tight to me. You know,
just the team's jersey.
Yes, yes. It was tight because, you know, for the first time, everybody's team was represented. You know what I mean? So you see the best player from your team, all these guys. And so, yeah, that was a cool time. I think that was one of Jordan's last All-Star game before he came back and, you know, was an All-Star again. But
yeah, you want to talk about memories, Rashad, because of me being a youngin. My memory of Michael Jordan, you know, what I remember seeing him do in his playing days was hitting that fadeaway in the All-Star game.
The 03 All-Star game?
When he was with the Wizards, yeah. And it was a big deal because it was his last season, and Vince Carter gave up his starting spot for him. And
which I don't think Vince should have done, but whatever. Whatever.
Why?
Because, okay, the All-Star game is as a starter, the fans voted you as a starter, right? This is before, like, it was split between people, but the fans voted you in as a starter. Well, they could have voted Michael Jordan in, and they didn't. They voted Vince Carter in, right? Vince Carter had more votes than Michael Jordan. I figure if people wanted to see Michael Jordan there, they would have voted for him. Is that not? Like, I get it. He's the GOAT, but nobody wanted people wanted to see Vince Carter before they wanted to see Michael Jordan in that particular situation. So they kind of bullied Vince into making him seem like, man, you're not going to give your spot up for the GOAT? No. What do you mean? And then last minute he was like, all right, bro, I'll give it to you. You're Michael Jordan. But I don't think he should have. But whatever. Either way, Jordan came out and was great in that game, hit that shot. But then, you know, Jermaine O'Neal made a bad foul and Kobe went to the line and iced the game for them. But that was a great... That was a great game. My favorite All-Star moment, it has to be Magic Johnson. Coming back with, you know, HIV, hadn't played all season, hit three threes down the stretch, hit one on Jordan, bang, hits one on Isaiah, and then comes down again, has that little hanging, you know, shot, hand in the air, and they call it the game. There was time on the clock. There was like maybe 15 seconds left, and they were like, you know what, this game's over. That's how it has to end. It has to end with Magic Johnson coming back, knocking down 3 3-pointers to win that game. Like that was a cool moment. I remember I come from a family full of Laker fans, which is super annoying sometimes. But watching that game with them and looking at how excited everybody was for Magic, yeah, I thought that was super dope.
I'm trying to think of, I think it was the first year that they put in that Elam ending, like 3 or 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. But I remember the fourth quarter being like, amped
crazy.
Up.
Yeah.
Like Kyle Lowry was taking charges out there. Yeah. And it was just like, dude, hell yeah, finally. It was, yeah, I think that was 2018 where they adopted the current format. And it might have been a year after that. I just remember that fourth quarter, like it was actual game and it seemed like they cared. And it wasn't so much just like, let this guy run by and do a sick dunk and let him do an alley oop. Like they locked it up in the fourth.
What's the best performance you've seen in an All-Star game?
Best performance
that you remember most?
I mean, dude, there's been so many. I mean, just first one coming to mind is
I think it was just last year, the year before, Giannis, he was like 15 of 15 from the field or something like that to start the game. Like, I don't think I've ever seen anybody start a game, an all-star game, by making their first 15 shots.
Right.
No. I don't know. There's probably some other performances in games. You know, I'm forgetting. But
for me, it's 0-2. Allen Iverson just completely going crazy on everybody. And I think that was last year they wore the individual team jerseys for the All-Star game. And Allen Iverson down the stretch was just unstoppable. Like, there was nothing you could do to stop him. And then Jordan's last All-Star game in 98 when Kobe was guarding him, but there was just – he hit Kobe with, like, three – turnarounds, and it was like, yeah, there's nothing you can do, young man, which was also Kobe's first All-Star game, so that was significant for a lot of reasons.
Who could forget the 61 All-Star game where Oscar Robertson was just dishing it, 14 assists, breaking Bob Cousy's record for the most ever in an All-Star game. That was a mark that stood until 83 when Magic Johnson dished out 16. Again, 61. Who could forget it, man?
Man, Magic was Magic was something different. And honestly, I don't remember, outside of that moment.
Oscar Robertson was something different. Oscar Robertson was the first Magic.
Yeah, he was. But, you know, there's no YouTube, you know, videos of him. You know,
the highlight reels are hard
like
to find.
But Magic was incredible. But, man, All-Star game tonight, 7:30 Eastern time. On TNT.
I'm glad that you made that known in Portland, Oregon, that it's 7:30 Eastern.
I'm just saying, 4:30. Just tell us it's at 4:30 here, bro. Like, you don't have to tell us what the Eastern time is here. Just tell us it's 4:30. So, yeah, I'm excited-ish for the All-Star game. I would love to see Damian Lillard go out there and get an All-Star MVP, especially without guys like Durant and Curry on the floor. He's instantly the best shooter out there. We know he's got range, and so I would expect to see Dame do his thing tonight. So
I wouldn't mind him doing his thing, but I don't want him winning MVP because then people, it's just going to bring more national attention. They're like, wow, Portland's really just wasting their opportunity with him.
Well, yeah, they should say that because it's true.
I know. They should say it. I just don't want to hear more of it, damn it.
Yeah, they should say it. I want everybody to recognize it, you know, because they should be much better than they are, but then they just got progressively worse instead. So whatever. I digress.
Hey, we are technically at the de facto halfway, three-quarter point of the NBA season.
We are. So if not now...
Things are about to get real.
If not now, when? If not now, when? But what are we going to do next, man?
You tell me. You've got the car. You're driving the ship.
You know what, man? We're going to save Who Do You Love for another time, but we're going to talk some more Blazers when we come back. But first, Joe S. Sports.
Football Sunday, Rashad and Joe on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
That is correct. It is Football Sunday for one last time. And I don't know why I jumped in there, Rashad. It's because you can't hear what's going on. So.
Wait, what?
Huh?
Who? Oh, whoops.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds.
Do I redo this?
Where's McKinley?
He is here.
Damn it, let's go.
He is here. He's basically waiting for us to finish this.
Yeah,
he's
coming here now because I don't know. We gotta get this part figured out, man.
We're gonna do a live troubleshooting here on 1080 The Fan.
That would be exciting. That would be exciting, and that's what we're all about is the excitement here. But
well, it would be exciting, but what wouldn't be exciting is the FCC fine that we received because of McKinley cursing and going off because of something
which
not working
is,
correctly.
I would say would happen 100%.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. That's why, I mean, it would be good radio, but I know Boss Lady would not be happy by the end of it once that FCC letter comes in.
Yeah,
so.
Once all those F-bombs start coming out, and then all of a sudden it's a little different. But Portland Trail Blazers, we do still have a basketball team here. No, it's not the Westland Lions. It is the Portland Trail Blazers.
Are you sure it's not the Newberg third, fourth grade Legends team?
It potentially could be.
Let's go. 6-1. Big game next week.
It could potentially be the Newberg young boys that are out there, you know, doing their thing. You know, Joe Fish, the fourth, is out there.
Joey was in his bag like the fries were at the bottom.
No, of course.
He was like cooking yesterday. Yeah. Hotter
sure
than fish
was,
grease.
Man. Yeah. He's a... You can tell every time I'm seeing Lil Joey, he's always doing some gritty. He's always making sure that I know that he's got swag when he's out there.
Let's just say this team's confidence and
he does a little thing where he points at his
ice in the veins.
I'm out here killing.
Let's just say the confidence of this team much higher than the Blazers.
Yeah, we should definitely get some of these guys to try out because maybe we're not sure what the Blazers need, but I guess it depends on how you're looking at this. You can look at this through a glass half full lens, right? Because here the Blazers are in 12th place.
I think that's what has been quintessential Blazers for the last 20 years.
It has. It has. But I guess this is the one year you probably could look at it that way and give yourself some solace, you know, right? Just because the Blazers currently at 28-30, their last 10 games they've gone 5-5, so middle of the road over the last 10. And they're currently 12 and a half games back from first place. They're not going to catch the Nuggets. However, they're only two games back from sixth, which is the Dallas Mavericks, who are going through a few transitions of their own as they try to really figure out how to best use Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic at the same time on the court. I think that will take some time, but when you have two guys that can score like that and can kind of do some change of pace stuff, it's going to be really difficult to stop them. So the question is, of the teams in front of the Trailblazers, realistically, which ones of them can they leapfrog? So Utah is in 11th. The Thunder is 10th. The Warriors are 9th.
I can't believe you're doing this.
Yeah.
You're the one that's actually trying to be the one that's like, hey.
I'm saying, no, listen.
We win a couple games here.
No. What I said is, if you're looking at this through a glass half full perspective.
All right. That's fair enough.
That's kind of, you know, what you would do.
So this is not you.
This is not me. I'm saying if you're looking at this glass half full, you're saying.
The fact that you're even broaching this subject.
Because I want to start on a positive note. That's what I want to do. I like bringing positivity. I like to give all the negative things, you know, or the positive things first before I come with the negative. Right? You know what I'm saying?
Next segment, you just wait.
No, not even then. But, you know, so of these teams, are the Blazers better than these teams? Right now, are they better than the Thunder? I think they could be. But I think Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Josh Giddey and some of those guys are really, really good. Shai Gilgeous is a all-star, you know, this year. The Warriors, of course, have Steph and Klay, but right now Steph is hurt, so there's an opportunity maybe there. The Timberwolves look a little bit different now, you know, losing D'Angelo Russell to the Lakers. And it wasn't really one of those addition by subtraction type things. Like, they just, I don't know if they got any better as opposed to letting Anthony Edwards kind of loose and do his own thing.
You get Mike Conley, but now it's just starting to, look like Jazz 2.0 almost.
Yeah,
now.
And so now you try to figure out of those teams. The Pelicans are in front of you, which I know CJ is laughing his ass off because you let me go. And, you know, they're still dealing with some injuries to Zion, which I think is always going to be the case.
Yeah, but when they were healthy, I mean, they were number one in the West.
Incredible, you know, when they were healthy. So realistically, can the Blazers leapfrog some of these teams? I don't think so. I think the Blazers got worse after the trades. And I like Matisse Thybulle. I think he's a great defensive presence. I think he can be almost kind of a Nick Batum-type Blazer. 14 points, 6-7 rebounds, you know, 4 or 5 assists a night. I think that can be somebody that can be really valuable for this team. But other than that, I just don't see this Blazers team as being able to compete like that with some of those teams that are maybe just in a little bit of a better spot.
Well, I look at the complete opposite. I look at the teams below the Blazers, and that's where I'm starting to shift my attention to Rashawn. I mean, a few weeks ago, yeah, I was the one talking about this. Like, hey, they're only a game and a half, two games out of the fifth seed. Like, it's actually, you know, if flip a switch, things start clicking for this team. But now I start looking, at the bottom of the stands. I'm like, hey, you know, Lakers only a game and a half ahead them. If we lose a few games, drop a few, maybe Dame has to, you know, maybe he's got a calf that needs a little rest for a few days. And maybe Anthony's rehab takes a little bit. I'm starting to get to that mentality. Because I also hear that this draft coming up is a good – there's like 8 or 9 dudes in here that you could get that could be difference makers. So
yeah, and it's just about the, you know, look of the bounce of those ping pong balls. And
it for sure is. But I want the Blazers to have a better chance than what they do now. Right now they're looking at like the 9th best odds.
Yeah, I think
they have the potential. Again, Lakers, they're below them, but they could go below. They could get, you know, below them in the standings. I mean, Pacers,
the Magic. That'd be a stretch, but I mean, it's not too far-fetched. I would love to see this Blazers get back to the, around that 5th-6th odds, honestly.
You know, one thing we haven't talked about enough or at all, to my knowledge, is, man, is Chauncey Billups the guy for the job?
Probably not.
I mean, that's the
let's be real. I mean, this season has been very eye-opening on a coaching standpoint, and I don't think he should have any excuses this year, because what did everybody do last year was give him excuses. Well, it wasn't a full year. He didn't even have a healthy Dame, and it was weird. They were tanking. So this is kind of like his de facto first year of coaching. And let's be real, it hasn't gone good. I mean, it's been a lot of, I don't know, man. Like, hey, well, you should. Like, you got to get something like, hey, what's happening here? What? I don't know. And it's like, well, that's not a good answer, Chauncey. You better know soon. And so, again, this is a de facto first year, and he doesn't know a lot because he's going through a lot of experiences for the first time with a star player, getting in a new system, players and all that. So I guess you give him that little bit of forgiveness. But
I'll give him some grace. But I think,
but again, when you're just losing games and your response to a lot of things is, man, I don't know. That's we got to figure something out, though. It's like, you're telling me. That's why we're asking, bud.
Yeah, and I'm starting to kind of think that maybe we need a different voice, you know, in there at this point. I think Chauncey Billups is a great player coach. You know, the players seem to really love playing with him or playing for him. However, it's not really equating to wins right now. If you look at the rest of your contemporaries in the Western Conference, those guys are starting to come up with W's. So Dame's getting older. It might be time to, again, rock the boat a little bit, but maybe with just whomever is calling plays from the sideline.
I don't know how many years are left in Dame's contract or whatever, but I
he's got at least three, four more years here.
Yeah, it's just clock's ticking, obviously, and he looks fantastic right now, so I don't want to play the whole, like, oh, how much longer is this going to last? I would like to assume this is who you're going to see Dame be for at least another 3-4 seasons.
And let's assume that he does play well, and he does play well enough to get the Blazers into the playoffs. What do you get then? You get tired Dame, because he's had to kind of carry this team for the last 5 months of the season.
See, and this is where I say, like, you know, get the tanks rolling, because you made your moves to essentially stay even to where you were at the trade deadline. Like, you didn't improve, you didn't get better, you didn't get worse, whatever. But you're making these moves to get Shaden more minutes, to have a team kind of form the way that you want it to. Because let's be real also, like, some of these guys, some of these moves and trades and draft picks, like, Joe Cronin didn't have anything to do with them. Chauncey Billups didn't have anything to do with them. Whereas, like, Shaden Sharp, that's their guy. So they want to get him up and going. And I have no problems with them doing that. Like, throw him into the fire. Start getting him 30 minutes a game. Because that's what you got to do with these young star draft picks, is get them their, have them take their licks early, figure out the speed of the game. They did that with, and I'm not the biggest Devin Booker fan, but they did that with him in Phoenix. They played him his first 3-4 years, and they sucked, and they were not good. Now look at him. They're a top team in the West, and they've put themselves in a position to make moves like get Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
So again, like,
and here's the cool part about that. Not
team building is, I just go back to this, team building is not an overnight thing. And with this Blazers team, it sure as hell is not an over month, over year thing. Like, it's a tough task here, making a championship team.
And it's tough to see guys like Kyrie get traded. And mind you, I don't think the Blazers were interested in Kyrie at all. However, it's tough to see him get traded for guys like Spencer Dinwiddie and some draft picks, some second-round picks. That's hard to see. It's hard to see KD get traded for, you know, Miles Bridges, who's a fine character, a fine player, you know, or, Miles or Mikal?
Yeah, it's, Mikal. Yeah, Mikal, Miles Bridges is definitely not in the league.
Yeah, Mikal Bridges, you know, but it's tough to see KD traded for somebody who's like, man, a good player and some picks. Like, when are the Blazers going to take a swing at something? You know, clearly it's not going to happen through free agency. You may get a chance to re-sign Jeremy Grant, but, you know, we'll see. We're against it, so we're going to break.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I know, right? We're going to break and tie a bow on it when we come back right here, Football/Sports Sunday on The Fan, the Odyssey app.
You're listening to Football Sunday with Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Coming back 2-9-12. Yeah, that's a nice little. Thanks for counting me in.
Yeah, I'm trying to.
You're doing it all today, bro.
I'm trying. Again, yeah. We're going to have a nice little powwow in here after McGinley and I, so yeah. We can have a nice little, like, all right, so here's what we learned.
Yeah, shout out to Joe Fisher, man, for, you know, making it happen for us today. You know, ain't no rock going to cry in my place, man. You know, there we go, man. I appreciate you, Joe. And I appreciate you guys for texting with us. Yes, we do still have a show. We do still have a text line, 503-864-6FAN. That's 503-864-6FAN. Right? Is that right?
I believe so. 503-864-46. Wait, God, too many numbers. 503-864-6326. There we go.
6326.
A lot of sixes in there.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Yeah, it's sacrilege. I'm not cool with that. We did get a text, though. Let me read this to you, Rashad. After Burt and the Allens ran Pritchard out of the town, the Blazers burnt all the NBA bridges. Blazers' response, have a bunch of kids and bring them to a game so you can spend a grip of cash and watch the greatest Blazer ever to never win a Western Conference Finals game, put up 50 points in a loss to a team under 500.
And I think, honestly,
that sums up the Blazers to a T.
And I think the one thing they said, which I totally agree with, the best Blazer to never win a conference final.
Yep.
Just
a game in the conference finals.
Yeah. You know, even just one. You know, it's just a game. But I'm Drexler has been disrespected here in Portland for a lot of years.
To be fair, he kind of disrespected the city by leaving it and claiming that he was a Houston guy. So,
well, he was.
I mean, I get it, but also, like, where did you have your best years?
Yeah, he was, but he went to Houston, University of Houston, from Houston. He won a championship there in college. He went to the Rockets, which is the team he.
Neither here nor there.
I get it. You know, I get it. Like, there's the place you play for, and then there's the home team.
You're drawing the what I believe is the comparison, like. Listen, look what happened with Clyde.
I get it.
And
Clyde,
then
but
look
again,
what could happen with Lillard. We could have it happen again,
no,
essentially.
Which part?
What I feel like you're saying is we could have the same thing happen with Dame, that after a while he's like, I'm out. And then he just goes to a new team. And
mind you, Drexler was having opportunities to win. And he just happened to run up against the two toughest teams from the Eastern Conference at that point, and the Detroit Pistons and the Chicago Bulls. But if that doesn't happen, then, you know, who knows type thing. But, yeah, I think with even just saying that Dame is the best Blazer ever, we're forgetting that, man, Clyde Drexler took this team to the finals twice within 3 years and was in the conference finals, the conference finals 4 years straight. They actually went to the finals two of those years. Like, yeah, like, I get it. Like, Dame is the best scorer the Blazers have ever had. But come on, man, like. Come on, Clyde Drexler. And mind you, Clyde Drexler never really liked it in Portland. And if you look back at those old Portland,
well, exactly. That's, I mean, you're trying to say that, like, Portland did him dirty. It's like he didn't really like Portland to begin with.
Dame likes it here either. I think he's saying, oh, that's the type of dude he is. You think he loves it? You think he loved it in Ogden, Utah?
I think that, I mean, that's a school that picked him in.
Yes, they took the Dame is going to show his loyalty because, yes, the Blazers spent the 6th draft pick on him. Yes, you know, because
so Dame's just been lying for the last 10 years. Listen, just Dame doesn't actually like Portland.
No, listen to Dame's story. He said, man, Weber State is the team that took a chance on me. When nobody else is offering me anything, Weber's the one that said, so, yes, I'm going to be down for them. I'm going to do that. That's the type of dude that Dame is overall. But you can have blind loyalty, and now we're really seeing that come through. I watched KG on his podcast. And he said the same thing. They talked about Dame Lillard for like 15 minutes. And he and Paul Pierce were going over, like, man, I feel bad for Dame.
You know, when I gave up on my team that drafted me.
No, he didn't. But there's the thing. Exactly. He didn't. He felt like, man, if I leave, I'm giving up on you. But now that you're older, he's like, bro, I left a lot of good basketball on the table because I wanted to be loyal to a team that was loyal to me. So, man, I think Dame at this point needs to do what's best for him. And I'm going to keep saying that, man. When it's all said and done. And his career is over. In Portland, he's going to live in infamy. But around the rest of basketball world, it's like, yeah, but he never won nothing. Who cares? Like, it's, yes, that's the one thing. Charles Barkley will always get trumped by Kenny and Shaq when they bring up the fact that, man, you don't know how to win a ring. You haven't done that before. And that's when Barkley said, yeah, I was a great player. Act like, yeah, but you haven't done this part.
And Barkley just has zero cachet in the NBA world now because he's won zero rings and just nobody gives him time of day.
They don't. Unfortunately, when we're talking about when we're talking about the greatest players, when's the last time somebody said Charles Barkley's the greatest greatest power forward ever?
A lot of people.
They know. You know why they say Tim Duncan is? Because he's got five of them. Yes, I can say that. That's the reason that they
say
that about
one of the best.
No, well, you say one of the best, but again, Malone is supposed to be second, but he's not even second. You say, man, who's the best power forward? And probably KG, probably Tim Duncan, Malone. He's going to be Dirk. All those names are going to come before Malone at this point. Yes, that's the way championships work.
And I just don't get it. Again, it's like my analogy, it always goes back to, imagine you just had a really, really hot girlfriend that is like super loyal to you and is always a ride or die, and you're just like, you know what? You just need to do what's best for you, and you need to leave me. You need to go somewhere else and be with someone else better. Because I'm just good. I don't do anything good for you.
It shows low self-esteem for them to stick around at this point.
Loser mentality, Rashad.
Hey, man, it's not a... For who? Dame to stick around for a team he knows is going nowhere. Like you said, it's a possibility they can
want some
again.
You want some dope-smoking punks, man. Jailblazers era again, huh?
Hey, man, hey, that was at least fun. They were winning.
No, they were not.
What Jailblazers team are you talking about?
Towards the end, they were not.
Oh, well, you talking about Quintel Woods and them? Yeah, those weren't, yeah.
It got ugly, Rashad.
Yeah,
come on.
You talking about Quintel Woods and them? Yes, of course. Were you talking about the actual Reuben Patterson, Sean Kemp Jailblazers? Please, them dudes is winning games. Get out of here.
Until they weren't.
Hey, they were making NBA Finals runs almost, bro.
Remember, kids, don't take aluminum foil through the airport security check.
Don't give the police your Franz. So remember when Franz Bread used to put like trading cards in the bread?
Yeah.
That's what Quintel Woods gave the police when he was caught speeding and smoking at the same time.
Yeah. What, the card or the bread?
The card. Man, no, I don't have my driver's license, but look, this is me, sir.
I would love to say that he pulled the card out of a loaf of bread to show him, like, I got it in this loaf of bread.
Hold on right here. Hopefully this is mine. Yeah. So, you know, speeding around in a big yellow Hummer smoking weed. Like, come on. Some of these dudes are asking for it at that point. That's just what it is, man. But, yes, those Jailblazer teams were at least winning. What is this group of good guys for the Blazers doing?
Yeah, they were winning charges, that's for sure.
Hey, whatever. They were winning something. They're not even winning public opinion here in Portland at this point.
We gotta go.
Okay, we gotta go. And next week we'll have a new open.
I hope so.
Next week we'll have a new
Fingers
open.
Fingers crossed.
Next week I should
I might just have
something.
To put my big booming voice on it.
We're not gonna use your
Sports
big
Sports Sunday.
Yeah, that's really bad. We gotta work on your bass in that one. But thank you guys for always as texting in with us. We do have a text line. Next time, make sure you interact with us. 503-864-6326. That's 503-864-6FAN. Man, so good luck, Joe. I appreciate you for carrying us through this, piggybacking us through this, man.
We'll be back at it next week.
That's what's up, man. So for my guy, Joe Fisher, I'm Rashad Taylor. We're going to holler at y'all. Peace.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast,
friendly, clean.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.